Here. Jay Jackson? Here. This is actually the clipboard of life. Just joking. It's not up to me. Trust me, if it was up to me, we'd be done. Okay, so what am I doing? Handing these out? Okay, well, we have November 11th at 4:30. Looks like we're having a chili feed and cook-off. All right, so if everyone will sign up on here what you're going to bring, that would be much appreciated. We're doing a communion service, a Thanksgiving one, and it's going to start at, help me out here. What? Thank you, and you weren't even in staff. 4 to 7 on Thanksgiving Day. No. Just look at the clipboard. It's on there. But they are 15-minute sessions. And seriously, the what? 18th?
Yeah.
Okay. Could you write that on there? Do you have a pen?
Yep.
Okay. By the way, you have to supply your own pen. If you would like to be a greeter or an usher, we would love to have you. Please sign up, and we will begin to show you exactly what that requires. And marriage intensive, I'm excited. I'm going to be at this one. I'll go ahead and do that too, thanks. And we need at least 6 couples in order to do the marriage intensive. So please, please, please. It is the next weekend, right? Next weekend, Friday evening and part of Saturday up until 3. So there will be, do we get down to 5 sessions? 6. I was in staff, I promise. Anyways, how's everybody doing? Blessed, good, awesome. Okay, I don't know what just happened, but that was rock and roll right there. That worship service. It's like each time, it's like, what are we doing this time? And I just learned to just open my heart and just allow God to move. Who knows that the reason we're here, not just here today in this room, in this building, but we're here on this earth is because of God's love. Would anybody agree with that? Because of God's love. So then when we can take and pray for a sister who has received a bad report from the world, then the reason we can pray and confidently know that God is touching her as we pray, probably even way before, to be honest, because we're limited and he's not, but we can know that she's being healed because of God's love. It's because of God's love. It says in 1 John that he loved us first. So we're going to do something else out of the ordinary this morning, and we're going to watch a clip here. It's about 19 minutes long, roughly 19 minutes long. So please enjoy, and then I'll share a few minutes after that. Can you turn the lights off, please?
Are you kidding?
I'm here tonight to tell you about a father who loved his son, and a son who loved his dad. The way this story is going to unfold for you, it's a little bit different, because I want to bring it to now. You see, a dad would go home, and he would go by the school, and every now and then he would pick up his son and say, "Son, why don't you go to work with me?" The boy loved that. And when his dad would just come and pick him up, he was the happiest boy ever. He knew that he would get to spend the afternoon with his father at work, and he would get his coat, and they would walk, and he would bring hot chocolate for his son for his really cold, and they would go through. But this boy was different. This boy would see things. This boy wasn't normal. And when they were walking one afternoon going to where dad worked, this boy would notice things that other people wouldn't notice. He see things other people wouldn't see. He sees a man in a bathrobe in the middle of the street who's yelling at a second story window. He sees a woman who's very angry at him and doesn't really want to hear what he says. This boy, as the rest of the world hustles by, he slows down. He sees the hurt and the pain. He sees the anguish and the sorrow. He sees the window close and a desperate man trying to get it. What he did doesn't matter. Daddy hurting is all that matters. And this boy would see these things. His father rushes and gets him by the hand and says, "Let's go, we'll be late." He would stop and look one more time. Can I stop his pain? Can I stop her hurt? But the boy loved his father. They would go and they would catch the trolley. I think that's what you call it here. We call it a tram. Yeah, I don't know the words. But he would get on there with his dad, and the boy would just notice people. He would look. And that day, one particular, he noticed something as he got on the train. To explain something, as you can hear, there's a train coming. And I got to get through this before the train gets here. He saw a man. He saw a woman. He saw that the man seemed very happy and the woman seemed very sad. And he couldn't understand why they could be together and one be happy and the other be sad. He couldn't understand that. But the little boy knew that there was something wrong. He had this feeling, this instinct that was amazing, how he cared for other people, but he loved none other than his father. He knew his daddy loved him, and as he watched the world and their hurt and their pain, he knew that he would always have a father. But he even noticed this. I need you to understand, as you hear this story and get involved in the life of this man and his son, I need you to notice that there's no mom. As they walked through the woods, the boy would say to his father, "Dad, what will I do when I grow up? What will I get to do? Will I get a cool job like yours? How will I work?" He says, "I don't know, but I want to change the world. I want to do something great. I want to do something wonderful. I want to help people. I want to do something that can change the lives of anyone. I just want to be that great. I just want to do something good." And as he walked with his dad would say, "Son, you will be great. You will be awesome. You will change the world. Your life is going to be incredible." There was a train coming. There's always a train. The train is called life. We're all on the train of life, just riding. Whether we realize the truth or not, whether we realize what's happening or not, we're all on that same train tonight. Only God has saw it fit for us to be in the same room, in the same car, for such a time as this. When they get to the edge of the train track, he can see where his father worked. You see the bridge? That's what his dad did. You see, the bridge was very, very important. Boats needed to come to the harbor to get off their goods so they could make money. But trains were coming with people going from one town to the next. Not many cars in Europe, so they couldn't use a lot of that. So many people, not enough roads, so everybody used that train to get from the town to get to work and to get home. And one day, the train was coming by. What you have to understand is that boy loved going to work with his dad. He would stay right by the river's edge, and he would do what he loved to do the most. Let me explain that. He loved to fish. Anybody like to fish here? All the guys go, The dad looks at his boy and he says, "Son, now remember the rules. You got to stay right here because I can see you from the window right here. Don't get out of the sight of this window because you got to stay there so I know you're safe. Catch you something good to eat." But as you can hear, the train's coming. The father's job was cool. I wasn't a preacher, I wouldn't mind doing that. Get to work. Get grease on you. Even if you didn't have to, you just squirt it on you like you feel like you did something. That's what I would do. There was a boat coming in the harbor. Timing is very essential. I'll go ahead and give you the key. The key is this. There's always a light. Everybody say light. Say it again. One more time. There's a light that the train conductor needs to see. If that light is green, he can go. If it's red, he must stop. You see, God has given us road signs in our life that we must read. Lines that tell us to go and lines that tell us to stop. Whether we read those and believe them or not is up to us. That's why some of you have fallen and you cannot get up. But tonight, that's why I'm here. The boat needed to come through, so he called, and the man said, okay, I got time. It's a long time before the train should come. So he pulls the lever, as you just saw, and the big, big, huge stone steel bridge, the gears started turning. They started cranking the steam. All of a sudden, gears are moving, and that big, huge bridge is just starting to go up. As it rises higher and higher, he has to watch and make sure everything's set, everything's good, everything's fine. As he looks out the window, he could see everything, but the dad, being a good dad, keeps one eye on his work, but the other eye on his baby. One eye on the world, but the other eye on his children. You think God doesn't know where you are? He keeps one eye on his world and one eye on his child. No matter what you've done or where you've been, it's one eye on the world, but the other eye's on you. He's watched you and he's kept you. Even though your train is coming down the track, he understands that. And even though sometimes, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. See the red light? He didn't see it. So many times we don't see the red light. See, to just say the train was early. The boy can hear and see the steam. And he looks and says, Daddy, the train. Daddy, Daddy, the train's early. Daddy, you got a daddy. Hey, Daddy, 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 the train. Daddy, the train's coming. But the dad was looking at the gears, making sure he had enough oil, making sure there was enough steam to get the bridge back down for the train. And the boy knew one thing. Now listen, the boy knew that his dad one time showed him where the trigger was. It was a red lever. If he pulls it, the train bridge would collapse down fast and the train would be able to come across. All the boy knew was there were people on that train. There were people that needed to be saved. There were people that had, some of them just with their friends having a good time, like everything's fine. They did not know that the bridge was up. They did not know what was coming. They're just living their life like you and me, just going down the road, just being our own thing, doing our own thing. And the dad all of a sudden hears the train coming. He looks and then he says, oh, my son. He looks out and his boy's gone. He's like, oh my God, where's my son? Where's my son? He got to figure out. He looks back just in time to see his son trying to save the day. All he had to do was pull that lever. He reaches in to pull it, and the boy pulls too far, and he falls in the hole. Now, it's on the Father, and God the Father. Did you hear me? God the Father has to make a choice. It's his now. Do I save my son, or do I save the world? But they don't even know. They don't even know. The greatest decision of his life. He can blame it on them not seeing the red light. He can blame it doesn't matter anymore. Pull the lever, save the world. Leave it up, save your son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whosoever believes in him, not perish. 3, 2, 1. Told. And they didn't even know. They never would know. They didn't even know the train goes by. It's fine. Everything's cool. The bridge is down. Just like always. It's always going to be down. Are you hearing me tonight? He gave his only son. For God so loved the world that he gave. And you know what's amazing? I wonder what God did right when his son died on that cross. When he breathed his last breath. When he took that breath and he breathed and it was over. Here's what what the Father would have looked like. They didn't even know, just trying to think of their life, just trying to figure out what they're going to do next, just thinking about the person they're going to see, the people they're going to hang out with, just trying to be just loving, caring. Doesn't matter if you're blind. Doesn't matter if you're putting on a little more makeup, trying to look pretty for somebody, or just wearing another mask. It doesn't matter. God gave his son for you. What will I do when I grow up? Where will I go when I grow up? What will I change? And there was a girl in the bathroom on the train, liquefying her heroin. Shoot up one more time. He died for her. He died for her. But in one moment, are you listening? In one moment, as the Bible says, everybody gets a chance. In one moment to see the look of the Father when he knows what he, when you realize what he did for you, when you realize the sacrifice, when you realize he let his son die so that you can live, when you realize what he did, no matter what you're doing, no matter where you're at in this life, no matter what you're a part of, you gotta stop. You gotta stop. Even if it's for 1 second and think, my God, he did it for me. He did it for me. And I pray to God you drop what you're doing. Drop what you're doing. With all the pain and the hurt and the sorrow in the world, he did it for you. That's why you're so quiet. You see, the train's coming. The train's coming. Everybody has things. You have ways of, I don't want to do that. I don't want to, but why do I keep doing it? Even Paul said, why do I do? My flesh tells me, and I do what I know is wrong, and I don't do what I know is right. You got to understand tonight, the fight is on, and we can win. We become more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And I'm not preaching just for me. I'm preaching on behalf of you. But what you got to understand is, there had to be a moment in those 3 days when Jesus died on a Friday and rose again. On a Sunday, there had to be this moment. Go ahead, look at the screen. When it was just God and his baby, and his son. Every sin that's ever been committed in this earth is rolling through your mind right now. I'm here to tell you that as the sun sets in the afternoon, the sun will rise again. And when the sun rises again, you cannot change your past, but you can change your future. You see, it's always a different day. One day someone lives, the next day they die, the next day you wake up and you're still living. You're like, why am I going to live? Why does this have to be my turn? Why can't I? You can just preach. I can't stop, but I need you to see the whole picture here. You see, because when God the Father gave his only son, when Jesus Christ breathed his last breath and he died, he did it in a way that you can never ever say, you don't know me, you don't understand me, God don't understand my pain, God don't understand my sorrow. You see, that's the very train that was that boy was on. That's the very train that he was on. And as this dad remembers, look real close. You see the pictures of the people? Bam, there they are. But there's somebody added in the picture, isn't it? Bam, there they are. Do you see who's added in it? In every face of every person, Jesus is in their life. Why? Because when you're the greatest sacrifice, you always end up in everyone's life, no matter where they are, who they are. He did it so that you can say he was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. Jesus Christ was there all the time. And the train keeps going. The train keeps coming. Train keeps moving. People keep living and people keep dying. And God the Father just watches it all. One eye on the world, the other eye on you. Some of you are starting to figure it out. You're like, what is he looking for? Just one girl. Because see, the whole horrible day, God only had his eyes on one person. And it was just a day on the street corner. When he walked by, he saw a girl with a babe. And she saw him. Do you get it? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. He did it so that we can live. No matter what the sin, no matter what the pain, no matter what the sorrow, the sacrifice was perfect. It was perfect. And it was for you. And God the Father watches it all unfold. And all he can say is,
couple dry eyes. Look, I personally don't have a lot to say today other than this whole gathering this morning was orchestrated by God, and that his love for us is more than we can even begin to understand. And it's out of his love for us that we conquer sin, that we defeat sickness. It's out of his love for us that we walk with our heads high, at the same time humble. It's out of his love for us that we can love those around us. And as I am learning, as God is making it so clear that he loves me, in the moment up here when everything was quiet, which that's a very rare thing. How many of you know that? To have a church of 100 plus and it be quiet like that, listening to the voice of the Lord. You know what he said? He said, I love you. He said, I love you. And then we sang, Jesus loves me, this I know. Ladies and gentlemen, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. He's telling me to say that today. God loves you. It doesn't matter, but I doesn't matter. God loves you. But they, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. He wants you to hear it today. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. But what about this thing that happened to me? God loves you. But what about what I did? God loves you. He knew you. Before he created you, he knew you. He loves you. The things in this life that happen that get us all sideways in our minds, the things that we do and reactions and things, he loves you. Those things are distraction. When we can focus on the fact that in 1 John 4 it says that we can love him because he first loved us. And when we love him, those things, you know, he talked about Romans 7. I don't do what I want to do. I do what I don't want to do. And on and on. And that battle comes to a victory because he loves us. It's all because he loves us. Because when I'm not trying to do better, when I'm not trying not to say this, and I'm not trying to avoid this, and I'm not trying, when I'm trying to be better, but it's just in my time with God alone, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day, and in the morning, and that's when he transforms and changes. And he got up on that cross, and what did we do? We didn't even bat an eye, did we? Not one of us here even thought of, not even blinked an eye for him to get up on the cross to shed holy blood for you and I. None of us did a thing for that, did we? Anybody? None of us did. He loves us. It's a love that is foreign to the flesh, but it's a love that is very needed, and our soul longs for it. We long for that, the Father's love. So, today, regardless of what yesterday was like, regardless of what last year was like, regardless if it was you or somebody else, regardless of what you were told your whole life, regardless of what the doctor says, regardless of the things around you, it is the love of God that will change and transform your life, and it is nothing else. And as long as you try to strive to change, to do this and don't do that, you will fail because you're relying on the wrong source. You're trusting in the wrong things. I don't know if it could be any simpler. I mean, I'm just saying what is a fact. And the fact is that when I get on my knees and I say, Lord, I love you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for changing my heart. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for, Lord, for all that you're doing inside of me. And that old person is gone. And this is a brand new person who stands before you, God. Cause me to be humbled. Teach me to be your disciple, Lord Jesus. Get rid of that hate and that anger in my heart, God. I love you and I thank you for your love that redeems me. Lord, praise your name. And I just do that. And I do it and I do it and I do it. And guess what? It begins to change my heart. And all I did, I didn't try anything. I just hung out with the Lord. I didn't try to do a thing. I just hung out with him. God loves us. He knows the things that have happened in our lives. He knows that. He loves us anyways. And that love is not a love that can be mistreated, abused, or misused. It is a love that is holy and perfect. It is a love that allows us, matter of fact, it propels and compels us to move forward. To forget the who we used to be, the lies of the enemy, the things that cloud our mind and our head and separate us from God, and to move forward into who we are, into who he's called us to be and created us to be. Satan doesn't want you to be that person. People, you hear me? He doesn't want you to be that person, and he will do whatever he can to get you to move away from the reality of who God has created you to be. So, Lord, I am a new creation because you say I am. I am not that old, selfish, wretched person that makes decisions based on what it looks like around them. Lord, I'm making decisions based on you and what you tell me. And if I got to wait for 5 months for that decision, Lord, I want to hear your voice. Because I know there ain't nothing else. There ain't no other answer that will come close to your purposes and your answers in my life. So listen, world, you have no place in my life. I'm a new creation, and I need to continually be renewed, but my Lord and my Savior, God the Father, will continue to renew me. Well, he's restored me and he will continue to renew me and to allow me to recognize the lies of the enemy so that I don't fall for that stuff. You guys, I'm saying it's a new day. We need to spend time with the Lord and not give those thoughts and those ways in our lives any traction because we cannot afford it. Last week, Pastor Mike talked about resting. And resting in the Lord. And not striving, but resting. And that's what we're called to do. How many of us in here truly in our hearts want to be victorious? Truly in our hearts want to live a life that is honoring and pleasing to the Lord? And everybody's hand is up, if not, should be up. But I'm telling you, in all your efforts to be great, to do good, it's not going to happen on your own. It's not. As I was told some time ago, rules without relationship is rebellion. And I say that now with my Heavenly Father, that some things, if I see it as a rule, it's no good to me because naturally my flesh is going to oppose it. But understanding that my God wants my relationship, he gave his blood to get my heart. That's amazing to me, and nothing less. That's simply amazing. He wants this. He wants this. He can look past our faults. He can look past our mistakes, even our intentional terrible decision making, and he looks into this and he says, I love you. So, if the world has got you to where you think this very day that you are not loved, that's a lie. Because God proved it by giving his son as the sacrifice. Not a sacrifice, the sacrifice. So that our heart could be cleansed with his blood. And we could walk holy before our God. In his sight, if you ask him, we're perfect. Why? Because he looks at his son to see us. And yet we don't have to work to do anything. I don't get it. Does anybody else? I don't get it. I just need to relate, spend time with my Father in heaven, and out of that, everything will flow. Simple or hard? I think it's both. I think it's both. But it's real. Am I an expert? By no means. I mean, this morning in the back there, I've got four kids, and I'm like battling with them going, oh my gosh, I can't go up there and talk about da 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 da. And like, come on. God's like, come on. I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, cleanse my heart. And I'm telling my kids, I love you and I'm sorry. And I just, you know, but the fact is God does love me and you can't tell me differently. And the more that I walk that out, the more that I literally just hang out with him, the more convinced I am. And I just know that I know that I know that I know that to him I am loved and I am a great person. And because when I was 4 years old this happened, or when I was 28 years old I did this, that is not who I am today. And those things happen so that the enemy of my soul could get me to focus on them and gravitate away from the Lord who saved me at a great price and have a relationship with him, have a freedom that is, that there's no match to the freedom that is found in Jesus Christ. And so the enemy will do these things. And if we're focused on the things, fall, fall, fall. You focus on your Lord, you see that it doesn't matter what happens around us. It does not matter. That we are loved and we are saved. Amen? Amen? I would like to do something even a little more weird. Well, that's pretty normal. So, can we do that one song, that super cool song again? Glory, glory. I don't know what it was. Yeah, I want to do that again. I love that song. That's great. But, and I just want it together. An awesome job. Hey, can I just do this? Is this okay? This young man's playing the drums for us today. This is Ian McNeil. This is a big deal. And he did an excellent job. I mean, that is super, super cool. But I just want everybody, let's stand up. Together, let's sing. Together, let's worship him with our hearts. And like Nick said earlier, let's just focus on God. Let's give him the praises. We're here for him. We're here because of him. So let's let our hearts flow with worship and praise and thanksgiving. And then comes the presence, the peace, and the glory of God. Let's acknowledge him this morning before we leave. And I need to say something else while they're getting ready. No.
just a moment there to set me free.
Lord, Father, we give you glory this morning, this afternoon, God. We recognize you as our King, our eternal King, our sacrifice, our lover, our leader, God. You are the one that renews us, Lord. You are the one that protects us, Daddy. God, we thank you for your promises, for your everlasting word, God, for the work that you're doing in our hearts and in our lives that is incomparable to anything else on earth that we could ever think or imagine, Lord. We love you and we need you, God. We are here today, God, because you have said this is a time for you to be alive. This is a time for you to make your place in this world and to let your light shine among men. Father, we receive that and we thank you and we give you glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Have a wonderful week. Understand that it's because of God's love. That's it. That's it. Relate to Him this week. Have a wonderful week. Somebody left their phone in the women's bathroom upstairs. Hopefully it was a woman.